Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Monday. It is, of course, a Medal of Honor Monday, and it's going to be such an amazing show tonight. Here's what we have on tap for the evening. Government is old in this country, and I mean really, really, really old. We will discuss that. Bernie Sanders is running again. Have to honor some fallen here in the open. We're going to talk about the Democrat convention. Maybe that'll be the place to be this where a bear ate some ducks. Our leaders don't care about us. And Israel invaded Palestine. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And don't forget, obviously, did I mention Medal of Honor Monday? That's an hour from now. Did I already say that part in the beginning, Chris? I wasn't paying attention. Chris, were you paying attention? I don't remember either. Either way, it's an hour from now. Before we do that, I want to do this. We got an email from a listener. I apparently missed one. I will miss them. We don't keep track of every single thing. We try to honor those who die in training, in military training on this show. They get forgotten about. No one cares. But they're just as heroic as anyone who dies in combat, and their sacrifice means just as much. And got an email from a listener. I won't go into everything else, but a Sergeant Joseph Zigarowski. We lost him. He was at Fort Bragg. We lost him on April 19th. Apparently this one went right by us. Leaves behind a widow. I'm not sure if I should use her name. I probably can because, well, it's public now. Her name is Emily. Emily needs our prayers, our support, and Sergeant Joseph Zigarowski deserves to be honored for having given his life for this country, and so we will do so now. Rest in peace, brother. Prayers for his family. Okay, let us dig into the news of the day. Now, have you ever heard of, well, Bill Simmons is his name. You ever heard of Bill Simmons? Long time, older sports fans will remember the name probably. Newer ones won't. And don't worry about looking him up. He used to write for Sports Illustrated, I believe it was. I think it was Sports Illustrated what he wrote for. And he wrote these funny articles, and we'd all read them, Sports Illustrated. And, of course, he turned out to be a worthless commie nutball, so forget about him now. It doesn't matter anymore. But he had this theory one time about football coaches. Oh, this will come back to politics eventually. And this was his thought. You see, he was watching. We've all watched, if you're a football fan, college, NFL, you watch as these coaches, you know, an NFL coach, the coach of the Giants, that's, you know, been my team forever. The Giants head coach. What do you have to do to get to be the Giants head coach? And just setting aside what you have to do, how much football knowledge do you have in your head if you're the Giants head coach? You know everything, right? Especially compared to some idiot like me. You know everything. And yet, at the end of games, routinely at the college and professional level, you will see these coaches who know everything, every single thing, every scenario, every play. They've got it all worked out. You got a staff. They know it all. And you will see them every season, and it happens multiple times a season, you will see them make the dumbest coaching decision ever. And I don't mean you call it a run to the left that didn't work out. That could happen to anybody. I'm talking they'll forget to call a timeout. Or they'll call one and use their last one at a stupid time. Or something totally basic where every fan watching, everyone watching knows, oh gosh, that was a mistake. The announcers commented on it immediately. Whoa, I don't know what Coach Kelly was thinking. That would be Coach Chris. I don't know what Coach Chris was thinking there. Man, what an idiot. He screwed that up. You ever seen that? Of course you've seen it. And so Bill Simmons, this is a long time ago, it pains me to have to give him credit for it. He came up with this theory. I believe he called it the Madden theory. I read the article a decade ago. Give me a break. Probably two decades ago. And his theory was essentially this. Every NFL coach, he knows too much. Meaning this. He's too involved. He has too much knowledge about this and that and that. And so this guy full of wisdom is prone to do something really, really stupid because he's too close to it, too close to the forest to see the trees, as the saying may go. And so what his argument was you need to find some guy who plays a football video game all the time and hire him on your staff, not to coach anything. No. As more of like an outsider, common sense guy who would step in and be like, hey, coach, whoa, hold on. We've got one timeout left here. No, we can't. No, don't use that here. No, you're too close to it. You see so much that you see nothing. What's this have to do with anything? Well, let's talk about politics. What it means, what we see, what's shown to us versus what actually matters. What has been the major news story for 2 weeks now? Especially a week. All the protests on college campuses. And let's expand that beyond the protests on college campuses. Let's make it bigger. Let's talk about October 7th, big Hamas raid, Israel, 1,000 people dead. There's rapes and butchers and murders and whatnot. What's Israel's response going to be? Oh my gosh, there's rockets and Hezbollah. How much have you seen these stories in the news? Everywhere, all the time. And then fast forward to last week. It's all anybody can talk about. We took a different tactic as we always do on this show, but Democrats, Republicans, MSNBC, Fox News, it doesn't matter what you're watching. Columbia, what's happening at Columbia? Oh my gosh, UCLA, did you see these Hamas protesters? Oh, I've got audio here. All you can hear about. Israel, Hamas, colleges, Rafa, that's all you can hear about. It's endless, without end. And I'm not saying these issues don't matter. That's certainly not what I'm saying at all. But you know what happened to me this weekend? I had to go to two parties. Now, pause for a moment. You know, I've tried to commit to you that I'm going to be more social than I've been and that I'm going to start making myself go to an event with 10 or more people at least once a week. If I have an opportunity, I'm going to go. I did it this weekend twice. In my opinion, I already banked my event for this week. You can debate whether or not that counts, but I did it. Anyway, so I went to two parties this weekend. No, when I say party, keep in mind I'm a boring old man. It's a choir event at someone's house. Chris, both of them, I don't think we were out after dark. So when I say party, I'm talking a neighborhood event. But it's a neighborhood event, and there's pizza, and there's burgers, and they're playing horseshoes and cornhole, and the kids are running around. Hey, Bob, have a beer. Oh, the game is on. So it's a standard living type thing you would do when you're 42 years old like me. And because I'm me, and by now everyone knows what I do, everyone in my area, everyone in my town, everyone in my state understands exactly what I do at this point in time. I'm not exactly a shy about it. And I'm not a mystery. They all come up and they want to talk politics with me or national issues, whatever the issues may be. They all come up and that's what they automatically, they look at me and they think political guy, understandably, and they start talking about politics to me. Two different parties. I would guess 6 hours worth of partying with other people, other adults in my area, and people of various economic backgrounds. There were some people who were really, really in dire straits. One couple had to put up their house for sale. They can't afford to live there anymore. Another guy's killing it, small business. So, I mean, it ran the gamut. It ran the gamut. 6 hours of partying. Do you know how many times with 6 hours of talking politics I had somebody bring up Israel, Palestine, Colombia, Berkeley? Zero. Not one time. And yet, the media, for at least 2 weeks, if not 4 months, that's all they can talk about it. I think we all need a coach. I think we all need a Madden video game coach. Everyone who does what I do for a living, probably me too. We somehow walk right past normal people suffering all the time, and we focus on whatever we're told to focus on while people suffer out there. And maybe it's something I need to work on. I try to be good at it, but maybe it's something I need to work on. It really hit me. By the end of the second party, I thought to myself, not a single freaking person brought up what's happening at Columbia. Not one. No one cared. Never came up. Does that not hit home? It did for me. All right. We have many things we need to get to before we get to how old these people are and, well, how normal people are suffering. Let's get to you. Let's talk about your testosterone levels. Let's talk about society itself. You see, as a nation, we cannot and will not survive. We will not survive falling T levels like this. Testosterone levels are half of what they used to be. Half of what they used to be. Chalk in their male vitality stack is aiming to reverse that. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. It is time to get on the natural herbal supplements from Chalk. And remember, these are the anti-communists of the natural supplement world. These are the people who fight for what we believe in. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, gets you a huge discount on subscriptions. They have male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks. They have more things than you can possibly imagine. But go. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Ole! We missed Cinco de Mayo yesterday. You didn't think we were going to miss out on celebrating it tonight, did you?
Buenas tardes.
After all, it is part of my heritage now, Chris. Happy Cinco de Sixo to everybody in the United States of America, from us to you, here on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. And remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to the whole needing a coach thing. Just real quick, I'm going to get to a bunch of emails because Ryan Gerdusky is going to join us 10 minutes from now. Has an interesting breakdown on the divide of the country, Rust Belt versus the Sun Belt, Trump versus Biden, all kinds of other stuff. Before he does that, again, I was at two parties this weekend. Talking to normal people, no political people there, nobody, no writers, no radio people, no TV people, no politicians, no nothing. Normal people, people just like you. Not one person with all the political stuff they brought up to me, all the concerns they had, and they had so many concerns. Not one of them was stressed about Columbia Law, Columbia University. Not one. Not one. Not one of them actually even brought up to me the whole war going on in Israel at the time. And in case you're just now joining us, I guess I probably should give you a heads up on the latest and greatest, worst. I mean, I'm not really sure what way we want to put this. Chris, I can't. Oh, there it is.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
Israel has invaded Rafah, ground forces. Now, I'm not going to get sidetracked by it, but
You should know that it's quite the thumb in the nose to the Biden administration, as in it's a big thumb in their nose. This was John Kirby earlier today.
We've made clear our views about operations in Rafah that could potentially put more than a million innocent people at greater risk. During his call with Prime Minister Netanyahu, the president again made this clear. He also made clear that we continue to believe that the hostage deal is the best way to avoid that sort of an outcome while securing the release of those hostages. And as I said, those conversations continue.
Israel said, yeah, sounds good. We're going in anyway. That shows you where we are as a country. But again, this never came up. It never came up. I think people on the right who do what I do, especially GOP politicians, well, forget about what I do, GOP politicians, I think they all need an extra staffer. Not that I'm trying to hire more staffers for the congressmen or senators. You know who they need? Not the latest intern out of college. I majored in political science. They don't need me. Frankly, they don't even need you. You would be a bad call. You're way too informed. They need, yes, Chris, a consigliere or whatever he's called. That's exactly what they need. Look, Chris, I'm not as fluent in Italian as I am with Spanish. I can't say any of all these words. Anyway, they need some kind of normal guy advisor to speak to them. Does it ever seem to you like all the media people and all the politicians, everyone you see on CNN and everyone you see on Fox News and everyone in the GOP and everyone in the Democrat Party and everyone who does TV and does it not seem like they all just talk to each other all the time? It seems like that to me all the time. And maybe it's just because I've chosen to live in outside of that world. I will not live in D.C. I would actually greatly enjoy living in New York City. After all, I'd be plaguing Tom Cuddy's dreams by coming in WOR every single day to do the show there. Sorry, Tom. No, I wouldn't. He'd love to have me. But so I don't live in New York City. I just with the kids and stuff like that. So I'm outside of political circles. I don't travel in political circles. I deal with normal people. With moms and dads and parents and this and plumbers and business owners. And they just never, ever seem to talk about what the people in D.C. are talking about. What the people who do media are talking about. It's really wild. Here, jobs report shows a rapid slowdown in economic growth. That's the real report out there. That's what I heard a million times this weekend. Jesse, it's really bad. Jesse, it's really tough. Jesse, I'm not sure if we're going to make it. Jesse, we're struggling. Jesse, we can't afford this. Jesse, we can't afford that. You turn on the news, this is what you get.
Is there a risk of inflation? I think there's a small risk, and I think it's manageable.
And now this is what you get.
I think we've got a good, strong economy. We've got very strong domestic demand. Consumers are holding up, some low-income consumers.
I heard a lot of things in 6 hours of time at a party this weekend. One thing I definitely did not hear was, we got a good, strong economy. I didn't hear that once. They all just talked to each other. All right, Ryan Gerdusky is going to join us next. He wrote this fascinating piece. He's been breaking down poll numbers and it's interesting how the country has divided is interesting. If you're interested in November and how that's going to turn out, buckle up for this Ryan Gerdusky thing. Before we get to Ryan, I just played for you Janet Yellen. These are the people running the financial system. Believe me, it actually gets worse from there. You need to make preparations for it to get worse. You know how I've been telling you about this 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply? They normally sell 3-month ones, but they've been selling these 4-week emergency food kits $50 off. This is the last week. This is the last week they're doing that. PrepareWithJesseKelly.com. Everyone who lives in your home needs some kind of emergency food, and I hope to God you never need it. In fact, I hope it goes to waste. I hope 25 years from now, you email into the show and say, Jesse, great news. My Patriot Supply stuff went to waste. I pray for that. Do you really think that's going to happen? Go to preparewithjessekelly.com and stock up for yourself and your family. $50 off. Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back with Ryan.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Gosh, Chris, turn it off. That was awful. That was Rob Zombie. Did Ryan pick that? Jeez, I feel like I'm on drugs. Joining me now, he is the big cheese at the 1776 Project Pack, which everyone knows I love. But more specifically, he writes the National Populist Newsletter, Ryan Gerdusky. Ryan, jeez, when I said you could pick your own music, I didn't mean you had to abuse the audience. What's your problem?
I love Rob Zombie. You don't like Rob Zombie?
No, I like him just fine when he's playing music, not just banging on things and screaming into the microphone, but whatever. Let's set that aside for the moment and deal with something you wrote this morning that I thought was a really good read. It's titled A Tale of Two Elections. It's on your Substack. It's your piece. It's not mine. What are you talking about? What two elections?
So there's really this election, in my opinion, comes down between the Sun Belt and the Rust Belt. For those who don't know, the Sun Belt is the part of the country below the 36th parallel. So basically Tennessee, North Carolina, and below across the whole southern country. And the Rust Belt, obviously, is the Midwest. It's Ohio, it's Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Those are really the two opposite spectrums that we're looking at in this election. And on the National Populist Substack, I detail how Trump's margins in the Sun Belt are substantial. But his margins is larger than the margin of error. So when they sit there and say, oh, he's leading in the polls nationally by a point, or he's losing by half a point, and they're saying it's a toss-up, that is true. In the Sun Belt, he's really running away with it. He has led above the margin of error in North Carolina since last August. He's been leading in far beyond the margin of error in North Carolina, and other states that were considered possible swing states like Texas and Florida are way above. I mean, he's almost in double digits overall in both those states. So the map is narrowing, and Biden's path through the Sun Belt is getting harder and harder and harder. On the opposite spectrum, in the older, whiter Rust Belt states, especially Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, Trump has a lead, but it's a very, very narrow lead. It's just 1 point in Wisconsin, 1 point in Pennsylvania, and 2 points in Michigan. If you look overall, Trump is polling much better than he did in the Rust Belt in 2020 or in 2016 at this time. Nonetheless, that is Biden's path to reelection. It's through the Rust Belt. It's through the older, whiter voters who have won, who don't like the way that Trump speaks, but also are definitely more pro-union than I guess than the Sun Belt would be. And where Trump lost some support from 2016 to 2020 in the margins is in whiter voters, white voters, especially those of college educated or somewhat college educated. And that's really where he needs to focus, as he can win the whole Sun Belt and all the swing states and still lose if he can't capture at least one Rust Belt state.
Speaking with Ryan Gerdusky, obviously, I want you to go read his piece. It's a very fascinating piece. Ryan, explain this as best you or I can understand why. Why did Trump lose white support from 16 to 20? And I guess more specifically, why did he not gain it all back now? Anyone who's paying attention at all can see while the GOP is weapons grade useless, the Democrats hate white people now. They don't even really hide that. So how in the world could, what? Explain this to me.
Well, a big part of it was a lot of this country genuinely hated Hillary Clinton, and they could not, would not vote for her. That doesn't mean they all voted for Trump. A lot of them voted third party. A lot of them voted for Gary Johnson, or they sat out in that election. Those voters went to Biden in the end, not to Trump. Trump won none of those converts back. And I think a big mistake he made in 2020 was so heavily focusing on the Hispanic and Black vote. He had, I mean, you should obviously, point in 2020 was he speaking to blue-collar, white Midwesterners the way that he was in 2016. Conversations on trade were narrowing. Conversations on anything for white voters had really, really been very, very minuscule. And although everyone sees the numbers and support among Hispanics surging for Republicans, and, you know, for Trump especially, does very well with Hispanic voters, there are not enough Hispanic voters in these states to make that difference. They are still 90-95% Black white states. So in order to win, you need to do one of two things. You need to either go the Scott Pressler route and try to register a lot of these voters. There are millions of non-college educated whites in the Midwest who are not even registered to vote. Or you sit there and you really work to sit and make sure that the people who voted against Hillary but not for Trump come back to either vote for RFK or for Trump this time. That's really how you increase the margin. Trump's margin with non-college educated whites in 2016 was 36 points. In 2020, it was 32 points, because that was a 4.5 point swing for the Democrats by people who had just either sat out or voted for Gary Johnson. Bringing those people either to RFK's voters or to Trump's voters is very, very critical in these states.
Okay, so you said he started speaking more specifically to his Hispanic support and Black support. Then that was very obvious to anyone who pays attention. He really got obsessed with that. He saw those good numbers going up. He focused exclusively on them. The working class white men who had a large part in voting for him sat out the next election. Now, what's he doing this time? Is he doing better this time? Does he realize that mistake? From the outsider looking in, how is he planning this election this time to get those people back?
Well, I think that he does recognize it. He has said things privately to people that I know, that they had spent too much time focusing on the Black vote and not enough time working on the working class white vote. One, I think it's very critical to have a vice president who can also speak to those voters, a Midwesterner perhaps, who could sit there and speak to those voters and their concerns and their identity. But remember, I agree with you. I think that the Democratic Party openly hates white people. It is the main organizing principle of the Democratic Party is to hate white people. 27% of all Biden supporters were whites without a college degree. Those voters should be ideal picking. I mean, they are the ones who've been hurting the most from Bidenflation and the Biden economic plan. They're the ones who hurt the most from mass illegal immigration, who see their neighborhoods targeted and prioritized. I think that he has to sit there and create kind of what he did with the Platinum plan. For Black voters, he should be doing that for white voters without a college degree. They are an immensely vulnerable segment of our society. They have higher depths of despair. They have more economic conditions that are hurt by inflation. And those are what he really needs to sit there and target. And they care a lot about immigration and mass demographic changes. They just do. Those are his voters. That's his base. And they need to speak to them very, very heavily if he wants to capture one of the three, or if not all three, swing Midwestern states.
Okay. More specifically, let me ask this. Why is he, on the positive note, why is he winning the Sun Belt? Why is he dominating the Sun Belt? From the outside looking in, you'd be more inclined to say, yeah, Trump would probably win Michigan before he would win some southern state. He certainly ain't no southerner and doesn't pretend to be. So what do they like about him? Is it just how many Latinos we have down here?
Well, a big part of it, yes. I mean, one, the white vote is more conservative in the South than it is in the North. That's a big part of it. Secondly, is that as younger Black voters, especially Black male voters, are turning 18, they are less ingrained in both the Black church and the Black and the Democratic Party, big identity, big organizations that brought that keep black voters Democrat. Now, that's not a major issue, but it's definitely a small issue. Trump is running ads in Georgia right now of white liberal women calling black voters and lecturing them about immigration, how great immigration is. And it's, I think that's highly effective, especially in the Black Belt in the Deep South. But what is happening really is that conservative Hispanic voters voted majority Democrat basically since the 1980s, right? You'd say 40% are conservative or 35% are conservative, and 70% of those conservative vote Democrat. That is changing. Hispanic voters are starting to vote more and more like white voters, in the sense that conservative Hispanics are starting to vote Republican and identify as Republican and breaking with the long tradition. That is the main reason we're seeing this growth from Hispanic voters. It's not necessarily that they've all changed their politics. It's that conservative voters have now reoriented themselves, just like Republicans, white working class Republicans did in the 1970s for Nixon and the 1980s for Reagan, that you're seeing the same exact thing now happen with Hispanic conservatives. We're saying this is really not the Democratic Party I signed up for, the one who wanted trans in the kids and then say Latinx and, you know, have pronouns. This is not my not my values. So we're seeing a reorganization and a pivot among conservative Hispanics, of which there are many. And that is, I believe, one of the main drivers. And also, the border is a disaster, and the communities that suffer oftentimes from it are recent immigrants who don't like it. And as the border is becoming a global issue, you're seeing all the Chinese, you're seeing all the Southeast Asians, it's becoming less of a Hispanic identified issue. Hispanics don't look at the border crisis as being specifically a Hispanic thing. If you want a secure border, it's not that you're anti-Latino, because the whole world is coming in through the border. So the border crisis is not necessarily a, you know, Hispanic dog whistle, as the left would like to say. It's a global problem, and they really see it.
It is. It is. Jeez. We don't fix it soon, we're going to have Italians here. Ryan, thank you so much, my friend. Seriously, how do people get your Substack?
It's the National Populist Substack on newsletter on Substack.com. National Populist Newsletter on Substack.com.
National Populist Newsletter on Substack.com. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. Fascinating. Man alive. You don't think about some of that stuff, but when you break down the numbers, that's how it looks. Let me break down some numbers for you. Pain gets worse as you get older. As your age number gets older, you get more aches and pains. I'm discovering this, and I know that it'll get worse next year, the year after, in 10 years from now, and I know that. It's just part of life. I'm not even complaining about it. You do have to find a way. I have to find a way to live with pain, though, whatever that pain is. We have to find a way to deal with it. You can't just snap at your spouse and get a bad night's sleep. Try some Relief Factor. It's not ibuprofen. It's natural. Natural ingredients. You take it every day. And as your body tries to fight that inflammation that's hurting your feet or your neck or your back or your muscles, this helps your body fight it. That's what Relief Factor does. They sell 3-week quick start kits. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Aye, aye, aye. It's the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, if you missed any part of the whole show, if you missed any part of the show, they divide it up into 3 hours. Hours uno and hours dos and hours horas numero uno and horas dos and horas tres. Can be downloaded on iHeart and Spotify and iTunes. If you need any help with the translation, just email in and we will get you all squared away. Happy Cinco to Seis to everyone who's out there, from my family to yours. Now let's get back to some things, shall we? Two quick things before I get to emails and other stuff. I may take calls next hour into the hour. Don't call. We have Medal of Honor Monday coming up 10 minutes from now, and I have some other things I want to do. I know this story's been out there, so you're probably aware of it. Just another great example of how the system works. Matthew Colangelo, he's a lifelong Democrat. And at one point in time, he had received thousands of dollars from the Democrat National Committee for consulting. He left Biden's DOJ. Now, he wasn't just at Biden's DOJ. He had a senior role in Biden's DOJ. So Matthew Colangelo, the lifelong Democrat communist activist, has been a lifelong Democrat who was rewarded handsomely with a senior role in Biden's DOJ. I mean, if you're a hack Marxist evil idiot and you want to destroy freedom, you've made it. Honestly, that's perfect for him. From there, as an elite communist, from there, he would have the skids greased once he was done destroying yours and my freedom to walk right into virtually any big law office and make millions of dollars. His life is set. But he takes a demotion? That's odd, isn't it? He leaves Biden's DOJ to go work for Alvin Bragg in Manhattan? That doesn't make sense. Unless, of course, he was sent from Biden's DOJ to be the lead prosecutor in Alvin Bragg's ridiculous case against Donald Trump. Oh, yeah. Opening remarks, opening statements were made. Guess who gave it on behalf of the prosecution? One Matthew Colangelo, the man who's received thousands of dollars for political consulting from the DNC. The man who was previously working at Biden's DOJ as a big shot. Dude wasn't stapling papers. He was a big shot. Instead takes a demotion to go work in New York City for Alvin Bragg. But we all know why he's really there. He's a mercenary. He's there to do what mercenaries do. That's how the system works. That's how evil all this stuff is. All right. I can't wait to get to the economic stuff between Janet Yellen and this Jared Bernstein. We are in serious trouble. I would be remiss, however, if I didn't play Joe Biden's comments from today. Chris, you have the comments from today. You played them for me twice during the break, and I'm still having a difficulty figuring out what was being said. Would you please play it again, please?
By the way, how many of you did really well with that $1.9 trillion tax cut that increased? Really in good shape, right? Really changed your... Well, you did. Well, that's good. I'm glad to see you're doing well already. And I'm good. But guess what? If you elect me, I'm not going to have your taxes are going to be raised, not cut, if you benefit from that.
What? Was he saying? Okay, so what I got from that, I think I got it the third time, Chris. So people in the crowd were saying, yeah, actually, I did do well with the tax cut. And then Joe Biden, did he just promise them to their face that he was about to raise their taxes? Chris, would you play that one more time? Because that's definitely what I got from that.
How many of you did really well with that $1.9 trillion tax cut that increased? Really in good shape, right? Really changed your... Well, you did. Well, that's good. I'm glad to see you're doing well already. And I'm good. But... Guess what? If you elect me, I'm not going to have your taxes are going to be raised, not cut, if you benefit from that.
Did the president just promise to raise everyone's taxes on camera in an election year? This guy's amazing. He's doing well. Oh, and Bernie Sanders is running for re-election at 82. Can we please get these ancients out of politics? I'm sorry. It's not that it's over at that age. By a long shot, it's not. But man, it's time to go home. Please go home. Sleep on your MyPillow, Bernie. There's no way Bernie has, as cheap as he famously is, don't tell me he has MyPillow at all three of his homes. Oh, you did know that the, quote, socialist has three homes, right? Well, that's three homes you have to outfit with MyPillows, MyPillow slippers. You're going to need six-piece towel sets. You know what? I bet you I know what he did, Chris. He took a page out of your book. He waited for a sale. Right now, MyPillow has a $25 extravaganza sale. I bet Bernie has stocked up. I mean, when you have two packs of multi-use MyPillows, $25. MyPillow sandals are $25. The Primo Ultimate MyPillow with the Giza fabric, $25. I bet Bernie sits around and waits till MyPillow has these big sales, and then he pounces on it like Joe Biden on an intern. You watch. I'm telling you right now. Anyway, take advantage of that sale. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special Square, and use the promo code Jesse or call 800-845-0544. It's Medal of Honor Monday time, baby. Next.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.